Welcome to your New Mexico government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. Over the past few weeks, there's been demonstrations protesting the killing of George Floyd, police brutality, and systemic racism. People of all ages, genders, and ethnicities have come out to demonstrate as per their constitutional right. There have been other people out at the protests who are displaying not only the right to protest, but the right to carry guns. Today, we talk about the militia groups that have been showing up to the protests and the concern that their presence creates. We talk with Black Lives Matter organizers, the spokesperson for the Albuquerque Police Department, a former member of the New Mexico Civil Guard, a reporter for the Daily Lobo, and more. Usually, executive producer Marisa DeMarco has your news rundown, but she's been caught up with reporting and editing for the show lately. So up next, KUNM's Hannah Colton brings you what we know today, June 10th, as of 5 p.m.
At least two petitions circulating online are demanding that the KKK be classified as a terrorist organization. In just a few days, they've gathered hundreds of thousands of signatures. Days after New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham announced her new Council for Racial Justice, the head of the New Mexico Office of African American Affairs is stepping down. The AP reports Executive Director William Scott Carruthers didn't give a reason for his resignation in his letter to the governor. State Representative Cheryl Williams Stapleton, a member of the new council, told the Santa Fe New Mexican she believes Carruthers' resignation was a result of miscommunication and that somehow he was not informed about the council. In COVID news, more than 100 countries, plus the WHO and pharmaceutical companies, are now working to develop a vaccine, Al Jazeera reports. Health experts believe it'll still be about a year before one is available. After many places eased public health restrictions a few weeks back, 19 states are now seeing new case numbers rising, CNN reports. Arizona is one of those, seeing higher daily increases in cases, deaths, and hospitalizations in the last 2 weeks than at any other time, according to AZ Central. Today, New Mexico officials announced 147 new confirmed cases. That brings the total to 9,250, with about 40% of those listed as recovered. Six more people were reported to have died from the virus. The statewide death toll now stands at 410. New Mexico's special legislative session begins next week, and lawmakers have decided it won't be open to the public. Reporters can be there with some restrictions. Lawmakers say legislative deliberations will be viewable through live streams, but there have been problems with this in the past, technologically and otherwise. A session with no public allowed will be a transparency test for the legislature, and your NM government will be watching that closely. For your NM government, I'm Hannah Colton.
KUNM reporter Yasmin Khan spoke with demonstrators and organizers last week about their impressions of civilians with rifles who show up at protests. Here's Andres Valdez, Celinda Guerrero, and Amelia Brown.
We think that it's a conservative reaction to a protest. They might, I guess, fear a revolution. And instead of looking at the problem, they're making it worse. We don't need confrontation. We need sensible, common sense to find out where the problem is and fix it. Let's come and get together and unite to fix the problem and focus. Focus is so important.
So this is our history. If people go back and look, it was white vigilantes on horseback who were the very first border patrol. When we go back and look at where policing came from, they were white vigilantes on horseback who were monitoring slaves. They were slave catchers. These systems are not new. They've always collaborated with each other. They've always been one and the same. The vigilantes who bring violence to us, the fascists, are the police.
What are people saying, and what do you think about these militia guys?
I've seen a lot of things on Facebook posted about me, and people that are confirmed neo-Nazis are commenting on. Telling people where I'm going to be at a protest and things like that, like, that's targeting someone. Saying you're going to come after someone, you know, enact violence on them, like, that's targeting someone. Why are we preserving that ignorance in our history right now? Like, we're over here, like, finally giving trans people the right to exist. You know, we're finally, like, kind of bridging the gap between, like, the LGBT community and, like, you know, people of color, white folks. Like, we're finally doing that, but we have Nazis? What?
KUNM News Director Hannah Colton spoke with Bryce Provance, a chaplain with the New Mexico Civil Guard, last week after the group's armed presence at the demonstration on Monday, June 1st, alarmed protesters. Provance wanted to make sure it's understood that he is not a leader in the group. Provance is also on the board of the national organization, the New Confederate States of America. He insisted that's about knowing and learning from history, not about supporting slavery. Here are clips from that interview.
It's a very decentralized organization. Like I said, I'm just a chaplain. I went to school for theology, got ordained. That's kind of my job, is the spiritual welfare of our guys. I'm just a guy who really cares about his city, his people, and his constitutional rights. I wish America could have civil discourse, whether you're on the left, the right, the center, where a lot of us are in our group. We try and keep it very moral men, very centrist in their politics, because we don't like the extreme right. We don't like the extreme left. We just want an America like it used to be in the 80s. You know, everybody was proud to be an American. Everybody was American before they were Democrat or Republican. We don't mean no harms to the communities that we're in. Like I told the guy at the Center for Peace and Justice yesterday, we're just here to keep our community safe. What happened to George Floyd was horrible. We also just don't want to see our city burn and all these businesses go out of business after being in a 10-week lockdown, have their stuff broken. I don't know if it's helped or hindered. I've been praying about it a lot, searching my conscience to see if we're helping or hindering. And I believe that after Monday, we had no intention of startling them. We support their message. We'd been in cars that night. We'd been around in neighborhoods where our members had lived. And we're just making sure everything was okay. And then we heard it was the end of the protest. So we're like, okay, we'll get out at the end of their route of march. Wait there. And if there is any bad guys, you know, we'll be able to see them. We can either call law enforcement and let them know, or just follow them and make sure they're not out there doing anything bad. I've just been up every night. I get off of work at 6:30. We're out there until 2 in the morning, making sure that things aren't getting broke into. I just really want to reiterate that none of our guys are racist. I have a very diverse family. And since we seen on Monday that our presence there upset people and it took away from the Black Lives Matter message, we have not been out like that anymore. And yes, we will be coming out on Sunday to support them.
Within an hour after this interview took place, the New Mexico Civil Guard announced on its Facebook page that Provance had resigned from the group. Reporter Hannah Colton reached out to Provance again to find out more, but hasn't heard back. KUNM's Hannah Colton also spoke with Black Lives Matter protest organizer Arthur Bell about the Civil Guard and their presence at protests.
It seems like everybody wants to police peaceful protests. If everything goes according to plan, we don't need policing because it's a peaceful protest. So I just didn't understand why they were there and why they thought they needed to come protect anything. We feel like any showing of weaponry of any kind defeats the purpose in some ways. Capitalism has no room in our fight. They come with the capitalism mindset of protecting property and devaluing life. The property can be replaced regardless of how old, but these lives and souls that are being taken will never be replaced. So we just ask everybody to value our souls and our bodies as much as they value their property. Property, building, businesses, money, all of that can be replaced. There's countless black as well as brown, red, and many other color bodies that are dropping in these streets for no apparent reason, and nobody's being held accountable. So I would tell them to start valuing those lives more than they value any property. I feel like in some ways the United States benefits off of that fight. So they don't mind the KKKs and these left and right wing groups being activated because they benefit off of it. Like, that's why we go to war. And make no mistake about it, this is a war. And I guess also to all the businesses that were downtown, though I don't feel my protest and my people who are actually protesting in the city of Albuquerque caused any of that destruction, those are the casualties of this war. And I guess I would say also, thank you for your sacrifice in a sense.
There's been some questions about whether these groups are coordinating with local police. Find our story on that online at KUNM.org and linked in this post. Executive producer Marisa DeMarco spoke with Gilbert Gallegos, spokesperson with the Albuquerque Police Department, about the presence of these armed groups at protests briefly yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
And the militia groups, I understand. I mean, I understand that too, that they're scary. And that's why, you know, I've said maybe certain officers in that video seemed to welcome the guys from the fighting academy. They knew them personally, or at least one of them did, and we're investigating that. That's why we took action right away, because we didn't condone that as a department. Just like we know our uniforms and our police cars can escalate things. I'm not even talking about the riot gear, just our plain old uniforms and our symbol can escalate things. We try to not show that at first. These guys showing up, guns or not, and camouflage and tactical gear, people are afraid. They don't know whose side they are. What are they doing? Are they a threat? You know, we didn't coordinate with them. We noted they were there, but it's not helpful to us. You know, it's one more thing that we have to worry about is, are these guys going to engage? They're not trained to de-escalate. They're not trained to deal with a large crowd like that, like the police department, and they're making it, you know, 10 times worse for our officers. So as a department, that's where we stand, but we're not just letting them go out there and threaten people. If they're pointing a gun, then that's an aggravated assault, and we would do something at that point. But it's frustrating too when they show up in guns and, you know, for their own protests, and we can't do anything because they're allowed to carry guns.
My next guest is back with me again. I'm honored to have Melanie Yazzie from Red Nation. Thanks for being with me again.
Thanks so much for having me on again.
So on Sunday, June 7th, the New Mexico Civil Guard, an armed group of primarily men, they said they were going to protest outside the Red Nation and KUNM radio station. How did that make you feel?
We had been simply trying later on in the week to kind of recollect ourselves. We do a lot of mutual aid and solidarity work, clothing drives and feeding unsheltered folks in Albuquerque. And so we're actually gearing up to get that work going again. And Sundays is usually the day that we do that work out of our office. And so when we received word of that, we were like, oh gosh, here it is again. The first time around last Monday night after the Black Lives Matter protest, we came close to barricading ourselves into our office for 2 hours until 1 o'clock in the morning because we were worried that they were actually going to approach those folks like in the darkness.
So talk to me about this. You're out here making a statement against systemic racism, white supremacy, and police practices in specific. And then you see these armed men just kind of ominously standing there. Talk to me about what that does to the energy of the rest of the people who are peacefully demonstrating.
And I'll tell you, when those JW folks came into the protest as we were heading into downtown Albuquerque, they came out of the shadows running at like full speed into the crowd. And I thought that they were there to attack protesters. And they've since, of course, all of these militias have since claimed that they were there to protect protesters, to protect private property. But the energy coming off of these men, whether it was the New Mexico Civil Guard who were posted a block up from our office, or the JW Jim folks who came out of the darkness.
And that's the JW is Jackson Wink Jim.
Yes. It's the gym that's right down at Broadway and MLK in downtown Albuquerque. The energy is definitely one where they were trying to intimidate and strike fear in people.
Would you all be willing to sit down and talk with some of the people from the Jackson Wink Gym and some people from the New Mexico Civil Guard to really clear up, like, hey, if you're here on behalf of this movement, why show up with guns? Why have this intimidating posture? Why not walk with us and join us?
As far as the New Mexico Civil Guard goes, you know, one of their spokespersons who did an interview with KUNM and then later like claimed that he needed to spend time with his family and left the group was recently found out to be a neo-Confederate. You know, I'm not going to sit down and try to like have a conversation with that person about how we need to come together in some sort of common struggle. That person is not in common struggle with me. Mm-hmm. So we also recently found out that somebody else affiliated with the New Mexico Civil Guard is a Proud Boy. So I'm not going to be sitting down with racists. Vigilantes who are armed themselves, many of whom are ex-cops, are just part of the continuum of state violence that police in uniform also represent. So I have no interest in talking with those individuals.
I understand. I want to thank you very much for being on the line with me again. I'm sure we'll be talking again in the future.
All right. Thank you so much.
That's Melanie Yazzie, an organizer for the Red Nation. A week ago in Gallup, New Mexico, a couple hundred people showed up for a Black Lives Matter protest. Their march ended downtown, where several dozen armed civilians were posted up outside storefronts and on rooftops. A local veterans organization called the True Patriot Foundation had put a call out for people to defend businesses from any looting or violence. KUNM's Hannah Colton spoke with Jesus Chavera, 21-year-old who was born and raised in Gallup. He helped organize the BLM demonstration with a group of young people there.
We wanted to do a protest because we wanted to show that even a small town like Gallup stands with the Black community, and we want to show our solidarity with them, that we don't allow racism here, if it's with police or with regular citizens. And we just wanted to show that it's not just the young people who believe racism is wrong. It's a lot of generations. It was a really diverse crowd. I was happy to see that.
So I heard there were a lot of armed civilians at the protest. What did it feel like being surrounded by all those men with guns at your peaceful event?
Well, I honestly didn't even hear about them until right when we got to the courthouse. Someone brought out a megaphone, and a lot of people were having speeches and talking about white supremacy and all that stuff. And it was honestly terrifying to think about that. If at any moment at least one person got offended, that they could begin shooting for no reason. Even before the protests happened, like a few days before, on the poster that a lot of people posted on Facebook, even said on there, there's going to be a peaceful protest. So it was honestly disheartening to see that people didn't trust us. We didn't want to riot. We didn't want to loot. We just wanted to come out and show our support for the Black community. But honestly, when I found out that there were armed civilians, it was honestly pretty scary, especially when all the speeches was ending and the protest was almost over around 8 o'clock. I don't know, it just felt scary. It was like a movie, like we were being surrounded. Yeah, it felt kind of dangerous, especially when I was waiting for my parents to pick me up because a lot of people were already going home, and some people were still staying to make sure that people got home. But even then, I still didn't trust the armed civilians enough to not fire or begin attacking us for no reason.
Would you do it again? Would you plan another Black Lives Matter demonstration after this experience?
Well, in that group chat that we have with me and a bunch of young people in Gallup, we were talking about planning other protests, not just Black Lives Matter, but also spreading awareness about all the missing Indigenous people, all the missing Indigenous women. We were planning on doing a lot of other different protests and candle vigils because, especially with Black Lives Matter, we can't just do one and done. We have to keep showing our support, and we have to get justice for all of the Black people who have been murdered and who haven't gotten their justice.
Jesus Chavira, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you for reaching out to me, and I'm glad that people want to hear not just my side of the story, but want to know why we did this, to show our solidarity with the Black community and to show our support for human rights.
This is UNM Government. I'm your host, Kaliole Colonna. We're covering life during the pandemic and how what's happening affects us all differently. Tune in Wednesday through Friday at 7 p.m. here on KUNM, or find every episode anywhere you get your podcasts. Last week, I interviewed a man by the name of Robert Whitman, who is with the group American Patriots of New Mexico. Here's some of that interview.
You know, Khalil, with the tensions the way they are right now, man.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, like, it seems like the racial tensions have grown. The difference between the violence and the protesting. People are dying over this. And, man, we're in, the 22nd century or 21st century, and we're still killing each other over this shit.
Yeah, I get you.
And it's just, and you know me, you've talked to me many, many times, and it's not about that. We should be against the government, and the government has taken this opportunity to just split us up more.
Let me ask you about that. There are protests erupting across the country and in the world in support of this movement. We're looking at this history, and, you know, there's people who want to say, well, racism isn't as bad as it was before. And there's a lot of people to say, hold on, racism is still here. And it's still showing its face. They laid to rest yesterday in February. I saw the video of Ahmaud Arbery getting killed, you know?
Oh, yeah. Dude, I thought that was bullshit myself, dude. I mean, really. They chased him down just to mess with him, in my opinion.
Yeah, to mess with them and kill them, which they did. How do we prohibit and prevent that? The idea of racism and white supremacy, how do we go about that?
Right. You know, when I saw that video and I saw the mugshots, I'm like, man, those guys are rednecks with racism on their mind. Mm. And there was no way that you can even look at that video and say that was justifiable, mm-hmm. because they were just looking for trouble. At the position I'm in with the Patriot Movement, we profess loudly and clearly that we don't care what color you are. I mean, we don't associate with the Klan. We don't associate with any of those hate groups. And now we're being lumped up into that too. And now we're being called vigilantes because we want to protect our cities.
Now, within that, two questions for you. Have any hate groups reached out to you all to try to get you all to be a part of their efforts or to become a part of yours?
Negative. Not at all.
Okay.
Because we've been pretty cut and dry. I know I have. I know the group that, you know, AP3 National was quite clear and dry in our SOPs and our mission statement alone. And, you know, here in New Mexico, we've got a plethora of colors in these kind of groups. We don't care what color you are. We're all about the Constitution and a tyrannical government. That's what we're about. And it doesn't just affect white people. It affects African Americans, Native Americans, Hispanics. They take my gun rights, they're going to take yours as well. There is no color barrier.
So with the goal of the group, would you call yourselves anti-government forces or protectors of the Constitution?
Protectors of the Constitution.
What are the main points of the Constitution that you all are wishing to protect?
All of it. Without one, you don't have the other.
Hmm.
The first was made, and then the second was made to protect the first, and the second, and the third. The Constitution is pretty cut and dry. You can try and bend it and twist it any way you want. And look, I'm no constitutionalist. I can spit phrases like, if you've got to ask the government's permission and pay for it, it's more than likely unconstitutional.
Hmm. So let me ask you about Monday night in Albuquerque. You know, there was a protest happening, largely
sure.
peaceful. A lot of people were shocked and tense when what they call outside agitators came and stood on the sides in the name of protecting businesses, stood there with their rifles. What was the purpose of them being there?
To do just that, to protect life and limb.
Whose life and limb?
The people that own those businesses. To protect people and property, basically. Most of the time, see, we don't go out there and you don't see us too often. We're usually behind the scenes and we usually want to support law enforcement. Now, mm-hmm. there, that's going to raise some ugly shit, right? Just me saying that over the airwaves is going to, then you're part of the police and you're part of the problem. But as far as I'm concerned, we have worked with APD for many years now, and APD has grown in their abilities to confine, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, when I did my first rally protest, it was pretty much a free-for-all, and the protesters could go anywhere they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So you'd have, say, the Antifas. They could go off just a little bit off the protesters' route and start trouble, break windows, burn buildings, beat people up. Nowadays, APD actually hems them up and makes them go a certain way.
Mm-hmm. They direct the protests, so to speak.
Right. If they start moving, the law enforcement will actually, you know, block off streets
mm-hmm.
and not allow them to make a left turn on Lomas.
Mm-hmm. Did any business owners call you all up and say, hey, we want you to protect our property, protect our businesses?
There have been a few, not in the beginning, but after the first night of violence, there had been some requests. It was mostly for after hours because most of the stuff happens after the rallies.
Yeah, the rally is over. Mostly everybody leaves. It's a handful of agitators. From the reports that I have from my colleagues who were on the ground, they were like it was 15 to 20 agitators as opposed to 1,000 peaceful protesters. 15 to 20 agitators who were doing that. Why not leave that up to the police to handle if the police are much better in coordinating and corralling these type of efforts?
Well, it's kind of a two-edged sword because they're busy trying to protect the righteous protesters. I see it as they're devoting 99% of their time to the peaceful protest. And now with us being in communication with law enforcement, we can inform. We don't necessarily have to
engage,
get involved.
Yeah.
Right. And that's actually one of our first rules of engagement is not to engage unless there's imminent threat. if we're in the background, say a block away from the protest, and we see 10 thugs going in, starting to beat up an old lady and hitting her in the head with bricks, we're going to stop that.
I think a lot of people would stop that, militia guns or not.
Believe it or not, I mean, if you look at all the videos lately, not a whole lot of people are doing this stopping.
What I'm getting at is out there to protect businesses. And so you all are impartial to what the march and the protest is actually about.
For the most part, yes. Not insensitive to it. All of us, I think, have been mortified by George's death. I mean, I couldn't believe it myself. I was like, oh, man, how can this be happening? How can those other cops be let it happen? My biggest thing is, how can people sit there and video it and not do anything?
Well,
because I guarantee you, if me and some of my friends had been there, we'd have interjected and taken the risk.
Hmm. What about the folks who are there to protect property, so to speak? Are they from New Mexico? Are they bussed in from another place?
Negative. Most of them are local people, local groups that just live normal lives the rest of the year. But we don't want to see our cities burning down either.
Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to see the cities burn down.
Except for the agitators. They want that to happen to create the problems. You know, if we see somebody in the background, I've seen it all the time. Because you'll see most of the agitators will come from the back of the protesters.
Yeah.
And you'll see stuff coming from the back of the pack. Those are the violent ones that want to start stuff. Patriots have been very, very patient for the most part. But if you get up in the grill and start smacking Patriots around, they're not going to take it. But they'll go hand to hand first. Let's say somebody, two or three people from the back of the crowd of protesters, is throwing rounds down. We're going to protect with equal or greater force. And a lot of people are trained how to do that. It's not just we're going to sling lead back.
But that creates a bigger problem. In this example that you're bringing up, someone starts shooting, you all shoot back, there's a whole bunch of innocent protesters, peaceful protesters, who potentially are on the line of fire. That escalates the situation. Do you all have any legal authority to open up fire in that? Seeing that these aren't your businesses, is there a contract that you had? Did somebody just call you up and say, hey, help me, help out and protect my business? Or did they hire you all as an actual security team? And if so, did you go through all the legal steps, become a security force?
I can say that for the most part, yes, the training has been done.
The training?
As far as asking training, a lot of the guys that... Not everybody in a group goes out to these.
Yeah.
There's certain people in the group that have the training, the military training, former police, that have that training and have that sense of control and not just the random, you know, let's empty a magazine back into the crowd mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And part of our rules of engagement are that we step back and assess the situation so that, you know, we're not going to shoot through a crowd. If the peacefuls are in front of us, we're not going to shoot through that crowd. And most of the time, the guys with the weapons are actually farther back from the protest, 2 to 3, maybe even 5 blocks sometimes. And only when it gets to a point where it's out of control will any kind of patriot with a gun come out and actually engage.
My question is, what gives you all the legal authority to take this responsibility upon yourself?
It's our patriotic duty. It's our American duty.
It's your American duty to protect property?
To protect the American people from... a lot of military people, I know you've heard before, we take an oath. To protect our Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic.
The Ku Klux Klan and white supremacist groups have had many demonstrations since the president was elected. And they're also carrying weapons in a lot of those. Are groups like yours of the sentiment to where we have to protect this property because it could turn out? Do you guys show up to those rallies?
We protect the right for the Ku Klux Klan to protest according to the Constitution. We do not support the violence in any way, shape, or form from anybody.
So what I'm saying is, how is that different? You protect the right of the Ku Klux Klan to protest, but in the Black Lives Matter protest, you all are protecting property. What does that say about where the organization's alliances are?
I can't say that it's just the property, because we will defend the right of Black Lives Matters to exercise their constitutional rights.
Have you all reached out to Black Lives Matter and say, hey, this is what we're doing and this is why we're doing it?
I personally have not. I personally would be willing to. I'm sure that You know, and I can only speak for myself, but I'm sure that if we could have a summit with Black Lives Matters and let them know that, hey, we're here to protect your rights as well as anybody else's. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. Why not make a summit like that happen so things can be clear? You understand the optics of it, because people are protesting freely. They're protesting against police violence in specific, but greater, they're protesting racism and white supremacy, which has shown members who are a part of white supremacist groups have shown that they will use violence to get their point across. People are protesting peacefully, and then as they're protesting, they see patriots, people along with the Freedom Wagon and the like, who are lined up on the streets with long rifles and guns and camo and military gear. Like, it's almost if a firefight were to start off, they are actually prepared. But with no communication as to why they're there or their intent, it creates tense situations. If you all aren't with a white supremacist movement or the KKK or anything like that, why not let everyone know?
There's a lot of groups that are national. There's a lot of groups that are just local. I can speak for the national group that I was commanding officer for many years that, yes, we would. And yes, they have.
What's the name of that group?
You know, I used to work for American Patriots, the 3%. They're a national group. They're in every state. They have the same mission statement in every state, same rules of engagement. And pretty strict, and there's zero tolerance for any kind of racial degradation within the groups from one group to the other in the states. You know, if you start being racist, you're gone, period. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's just not tolerated, period. I wouldn't tolerate it in my group. We're too far progressed as human beings to allow that to happen, and we're not going to allow that. I will not allow that to happen. Everybody I hang out with won't let that happen.
Mm-hmm. What really makes you want to reconcile this?
What I want to see is I want to see the racism go away, because it's tearing us apart. And some of it's governmental instituted, and we all have to agree on that. It's not tinfoil stuff. I mean, we can see it. It's right in our faces. And if people would do some research, some real solid research, and run down some of those rabbit holes that everybody thinks is just tinfoil stuff, they're going to see stuff.
I'm going to have to wrap it up, but I do want to say, if you all are willing to have a conversation and to let Black Lives Matter know that you are not there for them, you are there to protect against any agitators who want to disrupt violence, I highly suggest you guys get out there and contact them. And if it's a matter of having discussions, the optics of it looks like it does not look good. It does not look good at all. And this is creating tensions across the country. Well, I want to thank you very much for having this discussion. Hopefully we can talk in the future. He is Robert Whitman. He is with the Patriot Movement here in New Mexico. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it, man.
No problem. Thank you for having me on.
My next guest is the data and sports editor for the Daily Lobo, Joe Roll. Joe, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for talking to me.
You have a piece in the Daily Lobo that talks about, you know, state police officers climbed up to the top of a UNM building on Sunday, May 31st, with what looked like sniper rifles during the protest. They were photographed. What kind of response did you see from UNM, the community, and the protesters?
What I gathered from it was a mix of sadness, frustration, and anger. I talked to senators that were in the UNM student government, ASUNM, and they're very upset by both the image and the way that President Stokes responded to it.
What was President Stokes's response to this?
She said that she'd have to talk to law enforcement to see what they thought was wrong, and that she would encourage them to basically hide their guns better.
Wow, that's not much of a statement in support of the students.
She said that she regretted that students were fearful.
You know, you've reported that universities around the country are cutting ties with local police departments, but UNM is resisting, if we take anything from President Stokes' statement. What ties does UNM currently have with law enforcement?
My understanding of it is UNM's ties have been increased with APD and local law enforcement in general ever since one of our baseball players got shot. And since then, I mean, there's been no issue with APD coming onto our campus. In her statement, she just kept saying, we have to have these conversations
We have to talk with local law enforcement. And she touted her community safety council, or campus safety council, or something like that, which to my understanding is a private council for meetings that you can't get an agenda for or request the minutes for. And there's only like 2 student representatives at those meetings. So it seems like that's all behind closed doors.
I understand. Were you able to get a hold of either one of the 2 student representatives?
As soon as President Stokes released her video statement, which was the day after I had talked to 2 of the senators, they both texted me independently like, oh, have you seen this? And they were both pretty upset with really the lack of a stance that Stokes took.
Now, you know, we've heard they say that the police are there for protection with the belief that demonstrations can become violent or destructive. You know, what do you make of that perception of the violence during the demonstrations?
The UNM police chief at the time, Kevin McCabe, since announced his retirement, but the police chief at the time released a statement on behalf of UNMPD, basically alluding to the fact that protesters are dangerous, and it was more safety guidelines for people watching the protest. That you got no sense from the statement that they're going to protect the protesters.
Hmm.
But that was the point that they were trying to make with the snipers on campus.
Okay.
Which it seems to conflict.
Almost seems like an intimidation factor.
Sue Hamusa, one of the senators that I talked to, she's a black UNM student from Minnesota, alluded to the fact that it felt like an intimidation thing.
Hmm. Part of this conversation we're talking about is about the perception of what police officers or even the armed militia guys are doing out there. You know, the BLM movement is all about the fatal abuse of power, about racism in these systems, about law enforcement as a threat. Your story really gets at that. What are you hearing about how the heavy police presence is really making people feel?
People are scared. Nobody that I've talked to feels even remotely protected by the police. They're offended that the police presence on UNM increased during peaceful protests.
Are students calling for any changes to the University of New Mexico Police Department?
The general sense that I'm getting is that they want some form of disassociation, at least from like the militarization of the police.
Hmm. Thank you for sharing your reporting. That's Joel Roll, Daily Lobo, data and sports editor. Have you been to a protest? How did you feel about what we are covering today? We want to hear about it. Call up our hotline, leave a message, and we'll interview you. Call 505-218-7084 or email yournmgov@gmail.com. Hear us now on Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on KUNM's airwaves at 7 p.m. You can always find the show on KUNM.org or subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. Your New Mexico Government is a collaboration between KUNM, New Mexico PBS, and the Santa Fe Reporter. Funding for our coverage is provided in part by the Thornburg Foundation, the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, the New Mexico Local News Fund, and KUNM listeners like you. Your New Mexico Government is executive produced by Marisa DeMarco. Theme music by Pope, Yes, Yes, Y'all. It's produced by yours truly. Thanks to Hannah Colton and Yasmin Khan for their contributions, and a shout out goes to Kaveh Movahed for helping getting down on the editing. For everyone here at Your New Mexico Government, I'm Khalil A. Colonna. Thanks for listening.